Tom, I think your new member's on.
Okay.
Mr. Atkins. How do you do? Good evening. Good.
Mr. Hello. Atkins, how are you?
If you want, I'm Thomas Barlow. I'm the board attorney. I can swear you in really quick before the meeting starts, and I already got your signed oath, okay?
Sure.
You want to raise your right hand? I state your name.
I, Alex Atkins.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
The Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
Mayor Waller.
Join the meeting.
To the same.
To the same.
And to the governments established in the United States.
And to the governments established in the United States.
And in this state.
And in this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
And that I will faithfully.
And I will faithfully.
Impartially.
Impartially.
And justly perform.
And justly perform.
All of the duties.
All of the duties.
Of the office of the planning board.
Of the office of the planning board.
For a term ending December 31st, 2023.
For a term ending December 31st, 2023.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my abilities.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. Atkins.
Congratulations. Welcome.
Welcome. Yeah.
Welcome to the board.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Mr. Atkins. So happy to have you on the board.
Mm-hmm. I missed the whole
thing. I'm looking forward to serving.
Thank you.
Reverend Kenny.
Join the meeting.
How are you, Reverend Kenny?
All right.
Reverend okay, Kenny. I'm ready to.
1 minute to go, everyone.
All right.
Miss Buckley, what is Mr. Atkins' class for the planning board?
I have to ask Dana. I don't know.
Okay.
He just sent me the oath. I know nothing. I know he's the first alternate.
Okay.
I don't know anything besides that, but I'll find out from Dana tomorrow.
Gotcha.
Laura, this is George in the control room.
Yep, I just got your text. I was doing something, George. I'm coming.
That's okay. Thank you.
You can now record.
Good evening, Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny and me.
Good evening, Reverend
Recording
Kenny.
Recording in progress.
Good to hear your voice.
Recording stopped.
Thank you.
Recording in progress.
You're ready to go, Madam Chair.
All righty. The Piscataway Planning Board will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News, notice posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building, notice made available to the township clerk, notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Will the clerk please, Ms. Buckley, will you please call the roll?
Mayor Waller?
Present.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Here.
Ms. Corcoran?
Here.
Ms. Saunders?
Here.
Reverend Kenny?
Here.
Mr. Espinoza?
Here.
Mr. Atkins? We know he's here.
Okay.
And Madam Chair.
Here.
Yeah, we're fast. Madam Chair.
Not here. Okay. Here. Mr. Tom, would you please read the open meeting notice, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. In keeping with the DCA guidelines governing meetings in light of the COVID pandemic, this meeting is being held by way of the Zoom virtual platform. All of the appropriate notices have included the link for any interested parties to be able to join the Zoom call. And I believe we are in compliance with the DCA guidelines and the meeting can proceed in this setting. Thank you.
Thank you. Everyone can see the flag over my right shoulder. So can we please cross our hearts and recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States
of America
and to the Republic
for which it stands,
one nation
under God,
indivisible, with liberty
and justice for all.
Thank you.
Can we have the swearing in of the professionals for tonight's meeting?
Can you please raise your right hand? You swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Can I have a motion to pay the bills? Okay, do I have a second?
Second, Carol Saunders.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. I believe there are some changes to the agenda tonight. Mr. Barlow, would you please let the public know?
Yes, Madam Chair. Yes, Madam Chair, we have two changes. 21 PB 34/35V, which is 140 Circle Drive North, is postponed until the July 13th, 2022 meeting. There will be no further notices. If anyone is here for the matter involving 140 Circle Drive North, that matter will be heard on the July 13th, 2022, and you won't get a new notice in the mail. Also, number 13, 21 PB 42/43V, Raven Heights LLC and Kadori, is postponed until the August 10th, 2022 meeting. They had an issue with their engineer, and also their notice was improper, so they will re-notice. So if anyone is here for the Raven Heights matter at 17, 20, and 21 School Street, that will be August 10th, 2022, and you will be getting a new notice in the mail. And those are the only changes to the agenda, Madam Chair.
All right. And item 8, adoption of resolution to the memorialized action taken on May 11th.
Madam Chairman, Carol Saunders, I'd like to memorialize the resolution from the meeting of May 11th, 2022, application 22 PB-01/02V LZ New Jersey Realty LLC preliminary and final site plan with bulk variance.
Do I have a second?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, second.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number 9, adoption of the minutes from the regular meeting of May 11th.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to memorialize the minutes from the regular meeting of May 11th, 2022.
Second? Do I have a second?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number 10, 22 PB 03, General Plumbing Supply Incorporated. Would the party step forth? Is Mr. Arch here?
Yes, I'm here, Madam Chair. Can everybody see and hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You may proceed.
Good evening, Madam Chair and members of the board. My name is Tim Arch. I'm an attorney licensed in the state of New Jersey, and I'm here representing General Plumbing Supply. This is for a property formerly known as the Transwestern property, 330 South Randolphville Road. This was a previously approved warehouse site in a redevelopment zone, and we're coming in for an amended preliminary and final site plan approval. Because we have the tenant at the property, which is General Plumbing Supply, and there's some minor site adjustments that are being made to accommodate the tenant. Some minor housekeeping before we begin. I am in receipt of a CME report that is dated May 23rd, 2022. I am also in receipt of, my computer will cooperate, a May 25th, 2022 report from Mr. Hinterstein. And I also have a DPW report that indicates there's no comments. I believe those are all the reports that are pertinent to the site. I would just ask if that is correct.
That is correct, Madam Chair. I would just note for the record, there's also a report from the fire marshal dated February 15, 2022, where he approved of the plan.
Thank you, Mr. Barlow. I will state right off the bat, in regard to those reports, there was a comment, I believe, in the CME report that is a sort of a carryover from an earlier zoning report that indicated we were seeking a design waiver for four loading stalls or loading areas that are on the property. We are actually going to restripe them so that they are conforming. So this is a completely conforming application. We are not asking for any deviations or any variances or any design waivers. We do have two witnesses tonight for everybody. Our first is Mr. Matt Friedman, who is a representative of GPS. And then we also have Mr. Doug Hanley, who is was our engineer, who is going to testify. Since I know you love hearing me talk for a long time, I'm going to deprive you of that tonight, and we can go right into Mr. Friedman's testimony, if I can have him called up and sworn in, please.
Yes. Mr. Friedman, can you please raise your right hand? Mr. Friedman?
He's there.
Oh, okay. Do you swear that the testimony about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
I swear.
Thank you. Can you please state and spell your name for the record?
Sure. It's Matthew Friedman, F-R-E-E-D-M-A-N.
Thank you.
Okay, you may proceed.
Thank you. Mr. Friedman, can you tell us what is your position at General Plumbing Supply?
I am our director of finance.
Okay. And you're familiar with the site. Can you tell us a little bit briefly about what GPS is?
Sure. Yes, I'm very familiar with the site. General Plumbing Supply is a 100-plus year family-owned distributor of plumbing and heating supplies. We have 20 locations across New Jersey and New York.
Okay, and this is this Piscataway location. This is going to be your new home for your distribution center. Is that correct?
Correct.
Formerly, I think you were located in Edison, but you now want Piscataway to be your home base. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so let's talk about actually the operation that's going to be there. Can you tell us how many employees in total there are going to be with your operation? And then tell us about how you're going to accommodate those employees in terms of the parking that you have on site.
Yeah, so there is going to be a total of 154 employees based out of this site. The maximum number of employees at any given time will only be 143 employees. So it will be sufficient parking to meet our needs.
And that 143 employees, that's if every, basically if all the, if there was a shift change that occurred all at one time and everybody was there, but.
Correct, and assuming no one's on vacation or sick or out.
And I believe we are providing 169 parking spaces. Is that correct, Mr. Friedman?
That's correct.
Okay. And as part of your operation, we're using it as warehousing, but we're also proposing to construct a mezzanine internally in one of the buildings, which will house a showroom and sort of a retail area for mostly professionals. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. At any given time, how many contractors or professionals do you anticipate being on the site in addition to your employees?
Roughly around 10. I'd say that's probably on the higher end.
Okay. Would you say that it's fair to say that maybe two or three at any given time, maybe 10 over the course of the day?
Correct.
Okay. Based on your knowledge of the operation, your knowledge of the site, would you say that there's more than adequate parking to accommodate the functions that would be going on there?
That's right.
Okay. Now, what kind of products are you storing there? At General Plumbing Supply?
Air conditioning units, boilers, PVC pipe, decorative showroom material.
Okay, so basically typical plumbing fixtures and supplies. Is it fair to say that you're not going to be storing any hazardous or dangerous materials on site?
Correct.
Okay. Let's talk about your distribution operation in terms of trucks coming in and trucks coming out. Can you estimate about approximately how many trucks you'd be coming in on the site at any given time?
Sure. Roughly over the course of the day, we'd have 20 incoming vehicles delivering to us. We do require our vendors to book appointments in advance using opendoc.com, which is an online dock scheduling software. So it allows us to manage the flow of deliveries throughout the day.
Okay, so you can actually, you can pre-schedule all of your incoming deliveries to make sure that there's not going to be any overflow or backup on the site or anything along those lines. Is that correct?
Correct. We manage it closely.
Okay. And in terms of your outbound deliveries, I'm assuming you're sending supply to those 20 locations that mm-hmm. are throughout New Jersey. When is it that those outbound trucks generally will go out, and how do you manage that?
Yeah, our outbound vehicles, they leave our facility between 6:30 and 8 a.m. and they go on regionalized routes throughout New Jersey and New York.
Okay, and so those are also scheduled and controlled internally by you, is correct, or by your system?
Correct.
Okay, and those trucks that we're talking about, the vast majority of what size of a truck would those be?
The majority of those are 26-foot straight trucks.
Okay. So you've had an opportunity to review the staff reports that we talked about, correct? The CME report and Mr. Hinterstein's report?
Correct.
Okay. Are you willing to tell the board tonight that you're going to comply with all the conditions of both the CME report and Mr. Hinterstein's report?
That's right.
Okay. And that includes providing electric vehicle charging stations, required under state statute?
Yes, we will comply.
Okay. And in addition to that, you'll agree to provide adequate landscaping and work with Mr. Hinterstein to provide appropriate landscaping around the property?
We will.
Okay. I have no more direct questions for Mr. Friedman. I guess I will ask if the board wants to ask any questions.
Well, does the board members have any question of Mr. Friedman?
Madam Chair, this is Dawn.
Yes,
Ms. Corcoran. I just have two very quick questions. Mr. Friedman, can you confirm yes. what the height of that outdoor storage area will be?
I defer to Mr. Hanley, who can go next, but
no problem.
I don't want to give an incorrect height.
No problem. Second question, what again are you storing in that outdoor storage area?
It will only be rooftop HVAC units and PVC pipe.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? Okay, Ms. Buckley, would you see if there's any questions from the public?
No one's raising their hand, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the public. Okay, you may call your next witness, Mr. Arch.
Thank you. Our next witness is Mr. Doug Hanley.
Mr. Hanley, can you please raise your right hand? You swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state and spell your name for the record.
Sure, my name is Douglas Hanley, H-A-N-L-E-Y.
Thank you.
Mr. Hanley, you are a licensed professional engineer licensed in the state of New Jersey. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. And I have a Bachelor's of Science in Civil Engineering from the New Jersey Institute of Technology. I'm a project manager at Dynamic Engineering, and I've testified before various land use boards in the state of New Jersey. This is my first opportunity in Piscataway.
I was going to ask Ms. Chair. I don't know if you go into his credentials anymore or if that's acceptable.
No, I think Mr. Hanley is acceptable to the board as an expert in this case.
Thank you very much.
So, Mr. Hanley, you are familiar with the site and the history of the site. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
And you're also familiar with the two staff reports that were provided?
Yep, I personally reviewed them.
Okay. So I'm going to give the floor to you, Mr. Hanley, if you can please give us the benefit of your review of this project.
Sure. Thank you. First, I'd, I'd like to just introduce a few exhibits that I'll refer to during my testimony, if that works for you. So let me...
That's fine, Mr. Hanley. We'll just mark any exhibits A1 and go A2, A3, however many you have.
Okay, perfect. Can everybody see my screen?
Yes, sir.
Is it the aerial map exhibit?
Yes.
Yes, so okay, we'll mark perfect. That as A1.
Yeah, so we'll mark this as A1. It's the aerial map exhibit prepared by Dynamic Engineering, dated tonight, which is June 8th, 2022. I understand this aerial is a little bit dated as the site's under construction, but I think what it does a good job of explaining is the subject property we're here to discuss, which is block 4701, lot 5.05, which is 330 South Randolph Road. The property in question is approximately 16.1 acres, and it is located in a redevelopment area, and it's surrounded by the LI5 zoning district. The next one I would like to introduce is the site plan rendering of the current design that's being proposed this evening. So this we can mark as A2, and this is a site plan rendering prepared by Dynamic Engineering, dated 6-8-2022 as well. And what this is essentially a colorized version of the site plan that was submitted as part of our submission package, with some colors turned on to show the various buildings, pavement, and the proposed and existing landscaping as well. And the third exhibit, which I'll introduce right now, and just let me know if I'm going too fast and we can take it a little slower. The third exhibit, and I think this will be useful to run through the history of the project. This is the site plan rendering prepared by Dynamic Engineering, dated February 26th, 2020. And this rendering is important because this was the rendering that was used during the 2019 application for the subject property. So that leads me nicely into my next point, which is there is some history on this project, and I'm sure many of the board members are familiar, but just to refresh your memories as well as maybe introduce some of the newer board members to the history. So the property in question had a redevelopment plan adopted in November of 2019, prior to the site plan that is on the screen now being prepared. Transwestern Development was approved for the site plan that's shown on my screen now under application 19-PB-43. And it included the construction of the Western building, which is the proposed building, which is 151,000 square feet. And it also proposed to raise the roof of the existing building on the eastern side of the site to 36 feet. So I bring this up because you'll see when I flip to the site plan that's proposed this evening, there are very few differences, as Mr. Arch and Friedman had mentioned earlier. So that was the previously approved site plan. And now we're going to flip back to the currently proposed site plan. And I'll zoom in a little so everybody can see. In between the two applications, the redevelopment plan was amended to address certain concerns and needs of the tenant here this evening. It's very important to note that the overall building footprints did not change from the previously approved site plan to the site plan that is being presented tonight. I will just quickly run through the changes, and then if the board or the professionals have any questions, We can handle those at the end. So as mentioned, the applicant is proposing a three-sided outdoor storage area. It is on the northeasterly side of building A. So for the purposes of this exhibit, we'll consider north straight to the top of the page. So the outdoor storage area is where I'm circling with my cursor, which is the northeasterly side of building A, which is the existing building with the lighter shade. It's important to note that this area was previously proposed for trailer storage, and the purpose of the storage being enclosed through the process of going through the TRC meetings with the board professionals, it was agreed that enclosing this outdoor storage is a better option than just, say, having it on a concrete pad that screens with vegetation. So I know there was a question about the proposed height of this structure. So it is proposed to be 22 feet, 8 inches tall. And I don't know if I mentioned the square footage, but it's 11,461 square feet. And it's a masonry enclosure, which will be compliant with the height and setbacks of the redevelopment plan. Moving on to some of the other changes for the proposed application. I mentioned earlier that building A was proposed, the roof was proposed to be raised to 36 feet. The roof for building A is now proposed to be 40 feet. And as mentioned, that there will be a mezzanine constructed within building A. The other change is we are proposing 79 additional parking spaces on this application compared to the 2019 application. And you'll notice that on the previous application, all the way at the northern edge of the site, there used to be a cul-de-sac to handle larger vehicles to circulate throughout the site. We worked with Mr. Freeman and the applicant and determined that the proposed use does not need the circulation for the larger site. So we're able to fit additional parking in this area. And then the trailer storage and loading spaces on the eastern side of building B have adequate circulation and the required back-in space. So they're able to turn around, and those were shown on vehicle circulation plans that were included within our site plan. So we added parking spaces in that area. We also added parking spaces along the west side of building A, and I'll zoom in a couple times here so it's a little bit easier. This area was previously proposed for additional loading and trailer storage. The applicant does not have use for that much loading and trailer storage. So we're proposing parking on the western side. And then similarly, on the eastern side, we're adding parking spaces within existing grass areas within the existing parking lot on this eastern side. And then while I'm zoomed in, I think now is a good point. As Mr. Arch had mentioned, there are a few loading spaces that were striped at 12.8 feet width. However, we will increase that width to 13 feet to be compliant with the redevelopment plan. With that being said, as mentioned, we are comfortable with the comments that were provided in the planning and landscape architectural review letters, and we will comply with the recommendations within the letters. And it's my opinion that this application is completely compliant with the redevelopment plan.
Thank you, Mr. Hanley. I have no further questions of Mr. Hanley, if the board has any questions.
Okay, board members, you've heard the testimony of Mr. Hanley. Does anyone have any questions at this time, the witness?
I had one question, Madam Chair, just for Mr. Arch. Was there going to be a fourth exhibit? No, we had discussed that.
Oh, I will. I apologize for that. Mr. Hanley, do you have I think you have an additional rendering.
Yes, absolutely.
Just mark that.
Thank you for bringing that up. And I know there was question from the board professionals regarding, let me get back to my screen. Screen one, share. So there was questions to the look and architectural feel of the outdoor storage area or enclosure, if you will. So this is a rendering prepared by Arco Design Build. They are the contractor for the development. And they put this rendering together. You can see this is building A all the way on the right side. And you can see the masonry and striping are to match the proposed improvements on building A and B.
You can mark that as A4 then, Mr. Hanley.
Perfect.
Thank you, Mr. Hanley.
Sorry, that was the only question.
All right.
Okay. Okay. Can I ask a couple of questions?
Certainly, Mr. Reinertsen.
Reinertsen. Call me Ron.
Okay,
Ron. Mr. Hanley, just to confirm that three-sided, the reason I said it in my review letter is just to confirm that the open side is not to any public view. It's internal, right? It's facing inward.
Yes, let me, I think.
And that's the purpose of the plan. I just wanted you to put on the record, that's all.
Yes, definitely understand. And yes, the opening will be on the western face of the outdoor storage area, if you will, in the loading court of the development.
Now, the question about the electric vehicle parking, now the state requires, we can't waive out of it. So you have to provide 7. We strongly encourage, are you still going to commit to providing 3 live electric vehicle parking spaces?
We will.
Okay, yeah. That's great. Yeah, and just one thing, and it just came up today in another municipality I had, I would always suggest is, I said in my letter, it's the locations aren't shown. I would probably defer to discussing with a board of township professionals, especially the fire department, because an issue was raised about fire risk. So I don't want to hold them to like, oh, you have to put it in this spot. As long as they're giving the numbers, I'm fine with it. So so we got the 3 live and the 4 make ready. Does that sound about right?
Yeah. Correct.
Yes, okay. I absolutely agree to that, and we will work with the township on positioning.
Mr. Arch, just one housekeeping item. I had noted that you had had your correspondence with the town planner that you were going to restripe. So all I called out is I said that was a general comment, and I think I just said that these make readies that you don't meet the requirements, but you are going to meet them. You know, you just confirmed. And that's really all I was asking for confirmation with testimonies. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions from the board?
Madam Chair?
Yes. Go ahead, Reverend Kenny.
Yes, I don't know who this is for. Maybe it's for Mr. Friedman. In regards to your trucks, whether they're diesel or gas, do you have a refueling on site or a fuel tank where you or you buy outside of your facility, buy fuel, diesel, or gas?
Most of the vehicles are refilled with a fueling service that comes, in the late afternoon, and refills our vehicles.
Oh, you do have storage tanks on your property?
No, we do not. We use we use Duffy fuel.
Oh, an outside vendor. Oh, I see.
Correct. Okay. Correct.
Okay, that's my question. Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you. Any other questions before I open it to the public? Okay. Could we open that to the public?
Mr. Hanley, please unshare your screen.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
Ms. Buckley, would you see if anyone has responded from the public?
No one, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Hearing no questions from the public, it's closed to the public. Are there any other witnesses, Mr. Arch?
No. That would again. This is a conforming site. It's a conforming redevelopment plan to this use. And I know that Mr. Friedman is happy to make hopefully Piscataway his base of operation for the next 100 years of GPS's history. So thank you.
All right, thank you. You've heard the testimony on this application, board members. Would anyone like to make a motion either for or against this application?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the application subject to the staff report and subject to the CME report. Also with the requirement that the applicant provide the EV charging stations and make ready stations as discussed this evening, and also the restriping of the loading spaces to meet the requirements of the redevelopment plan.
All right, do I have a second?
Madam Chair, Councilwoman Cahill, I will second that motion.
Thank you. Can we have a roll call?
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you, gentlemen, for the application.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
If I may just briefly before you move on to the next matter, because of the nature of this application being a completely conforming site plan application, it was a proposed resolution was drafted in anticipation of potentially tonight's proceedings that out of an abundance of caution, I included everything that the board just moved for, including the electric vehicle. Okay,
so it is inclusive. All right.
So if the board so chooses, because I know the applicant has would like to get moving on this redevelopment site, I believe Ms. Saunders has a resolution if the board would like to vote on it at this juncture. Is that okay with you, Mr. Arch?
Absolutely, Mr. Barlow. Thank you.
Ms. Saunders, you have a resolution for you?
One second. I'm trying to find the documents that were sent to me.
I re-emailed it to you again about 15 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's...
Wonders of technology.
Isn't it wonderful?
What did we do beforehand, Ms. Smith?
I can't even imagine.
Okay. Our hands cramped a lot.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to memorialize application 22PB03 for General Plumbing Supply Inc. for preliminary and final site plan approval.
Do I have a second? I believe I heard a second from Ms. Cochran.
Yes.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Well, Mr. Arch, that must tie this application up for you. Good luck.
Thank you so much. But you're stuck with me for a little bit longer.
Okay. You have another application, I guess. Okay.
Yes.
Well, then that must be the next one, which is 11. Item number 1122PB04/05 Victory, V as in Victor, Benner HP LLC, minor subdivision and bulk variance.
That is correct. Good evening.
That is you. Okay, there we go.
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. I am still Tim Arch, still licensed attorney in the state of New Jersey. And I am here representing Benner HP LLC, and this is for 416 Victoria Avenue. This is, you might know it as the I think it's the Circle Playhouse is what it's known as, site at 416 Victoria. We are proposing to subdivide that property into two lots, two conforming lots, and are proposing two single family residential homes on those lots. Which is quite frankly what the zoning demands or what it anticipated in that area. As part of housekeeping, we do have two staff reports. I have one, I apologize, I think my one staff report is not dated as to when it was granted, but it was, or when it was sent, but it's Mr. Hinterstein's report consisting of 13 comments. And I also have a CME report dated May 20th, 2022 as well. And I would just ask if there are any additional reports that I am missing.
Mr. Arch, it's Mr. Hinterstein's report dated May 24th, 2022. And the only other report is Mr. Gasparri, the Director of Public Works, upon his review of the application, indicated that he had no comments with regards to SAINT.
Thank you, Mr. Barlow. So I do have two, or I'm sorry, I have one witness tonight, and that is Mr. Sharif Ali, who is our engineer. Also present is Mr. Ayad Adi, who is a representative of the company. So if there's anything that needs to be specifically directed towards him, or if he needs to answer anything, he is available tonight. In looking at the reports, we do have, we can comply with the vast majority of comments on the reports. There are a couple that we do want to discuss and maybe can come to some fair compromise on. But we can maybe perhaps do that at the end of the presentation. So at this time, I would ask Mr. Sharif Ali to be sworn in so that he can give his presentation.
All right, Mr. Ali. Ms. Saunders, would you swear Mr. Ali in?
Yes. Can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony about to give you the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Can you please state and spell your name for the record?
Sharif Ali, A-L-Y.
Thank you.
Mr. Ali, you are a licensed engineer in the state of New Jersey. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you're familiar with the site and the staff reports, and you've testified in front of this board in the past. Is that correct?
Numerous times, yes.
Madam Chair, I would ask that he be accepted tonight as an expert in the
Mr.
field.
Mr. Ali is accepted.
Thank you. Mr. Ali, if you can please just take us through, orient us to the site, and please give your presentation as to the proposed project.
Sure. So I will take over the screen, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay. Should be in now. All right, so you guys seen my screen, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Mm-hmm.
All right, so we on the site is on Victoria Avenue. Vale is to the south, that's the intersection, and Grove is to the north, that's another intersection. So we like mid-block. North arrow, just for reference, is pointing to Grove and Washington, which is like the next street running parallel to Grove. The site on the tax map, the official tax map, is known as Block 906, Lot 17.02, and is about 17,400 plus square feet. The site right now as exists contain, and if you don't mind, I'll show you. Here you go. The site right now contain an existing building. Much better now.
Mm-hmm.
As Tim says, that the was known as Circle Playhouse is 416. And the building is being recently renovated to five bedrooms house. So the rest of the lot, as you see in gray, or the majority of the lot, as you see in gray, used to be a parking lot. Everything in gray, a parking lot. And you have the steps leading to the porch. It's enclosed porch and then the house. Some of the steps, we are talking about a house probably built back in the 1950, 1940, and part of the steps within the right of way. So that solid line with the two dashes, the right of way, and this is the curb line, And by the way, Victoria is about 50 foot right away. The majority of the neighborhood is all residential and happens to be residential R7.5, which is basically R7.5, it says is 7,500 square feet, 75 lot width on 100 lot depth. That's a typical of R7.5. So that is the existing condition out there. And obviously the house has a gas, has water, and also a sewer connection that is not shown on the map, but there is a sewer connection. So just for information, because we're so concerned about the stormwater management, that whole entire area that is paved on site as well as the building is about 12,000 square feet. Our proposal is to...
Mr. Ali, before you move on to the third, just for sake of completeness for the record, the first diagram you showed the board, which was the minor subdivision plan, we'll call that A1. A2 is the existing conditions diagram, and then I think you are moving on to A3, which is going to be, I presume, the proposed.
Yeah, that is correct.
Okay, so we'll mark that. So we have A1, A2, and A3. I just want to keep the record complete. Thank you.
I agree. So our proposal, as Tim says, is that to subdivide the lot into two lots. Two future lot will be known as lot 17.03, will contain 9,400 square feet with a lot width of 94. So that's exceeding all the bulk requirement. In addition to that, we will keep the pavement, which is a driveway, we're gonna call it future driveway, on the left side of the lot, and we'll be removing all the unnecessary existing pavement, like in this area here, as well as the whole entire area here. All this will be all removed and keeping just a little bit of access area to the steps, to the back door. So basically everything here will be turned into green where it used to be paved. The steps, we will remove the steps within the right of way as recommended by your staff. And along with that, we will be providing a sidewalk as requested, as usually requested, as well as we will be adding two trees in the front as recommended by the staff. The second lot, which is future lot 17.04, will contain about 8,000 plus square feet, again, exceeding the area requirement within the zone, which is the 7,500, lot width is 80 plus, is almost 81. And the depth is still the same, 100, so that the width is also exceeding. So we are fully conforming with the bulk requirement on this lot. That's a 6 bedrooms house, 1 car garage, 2 cars, paved driveway, that makes it total 3, meeting the residential side improvements, which require 3 spaces. And by the way, the existing home, as I mentioned, 5 bedrooms, will contain 4 paved driveway. So 4 car paved driveway. So again, exceeding the residential side improvement standards of 3. So that's pretty much what we have. There's two existing non-conforming variances in the bulk variances. One is that after remove the steps, basically is 2.5 feet from the right of way, meaning that it's totally in the front yard as well as portion of the house. The front yard is 25 feet. And that is the house here and the steps, so it's 2.5 feet. The second bulk is, again, existing. Whether we subdivide the lot or not, it's existing. It's out there 18.5 feet, where the rear of the property is 25 feet, and we are encroaching within the rear by 7 or 6.5 feet. So that's an existing non-conforming. This is an existing. By removing the steps from the right-of-ways, improving the situation here, but that is the main entrance to the house. So we start with that. So that's as far as the two bulk. There is another variance on law 17.03. All the variances, or the three variances on law 17.03, is that, as you see, there is no garage there. So I believe that will be considered as a variance, and Mr. Arch will elaborate more on that. So with this proposed condition, we are down from 12,000 square feet in previous coverage to 8,800 square feet. That's a reduction of 30%, meaning that with the stormwater regulations and all the revisions that is going through, if we are matching in previous coverage on a particular site, we are home free, as long as that we have less than an acre of lot disturbance, and we do have less than an acre, and we have less of impervious coverage. We're not adding to impervious coverage, and the add is 1/4 acre. Now we are reducing. The reason I mentioned that, because in the staff report is recommending the new home to have a dry well. I understand that it's the common practice in the town in Piscataway, which is it's usually goes along with vacant lots that totally wooded or grass, just a vacant lot or farmland. So I understand the requirement, but here we are reducing by 30%, meaning that we're reducing runoff. Once this is developed, it will be a reducing runoff by 30%. So we have a lot of credits here. So there is no need to have a dry well, and we are asking the board member to waive that requirement. I don't believe it's a variance. I don't believe it's a design exception. It's just a requirement of the engineering department, which is, you know, it's a good requirement. I will ask for the same thing, but if I have a total vacant lot, not reducing the impervious by 30%. The lot 17.04 will have obviously sewer, water, you know, driveway, apron driveway. This guy here, the existing one, will have an apron driveway, so that will be all improved, and all the pavement within the right of way will be removed. Curb cut will be redefined, remove all the curb cuts that are there and necessary, like this one here, and everything will be defined, which will look pretty much the same as any existing residence out there. By the way, this is the existing home out there. As you see, it's a beautiful existing home there. It's not a home. It used to be like the circle house. So that's being renovated now, and there is a CO is being given and from the construction department. So that's totally being renovated. You're not going to see that out there anymore. And I believe I covered pretty much everything.
Mr. Ali, just for the record, that last picture that you showed, if we can just mark that as A4, and that's we'll call that the prior condition of Circle Playhouse, of the site.
Correct.
Okay.
So, So with that said, I did talk about the shade trees. I talked about the curb cuts. I talked about removing all the steps within the right-of-way, the sidewalk. I talked about the huge credit that we are getting, within the neighborhood as far as reduction of runoff by 30%. And I did talk about the three existing variances, the front yard, the backyard, and no garage. And that's pretty much it. And we are asking for the dry well to be not to be installed. And given the fact that we have a huge credit here and improving the situation out there by 1/3. So that's my testimony.
So Mr. Ali, so just to synthesize some of your testimony, would it be fair to say that in your opinion, because of the significant reduction in impervious coverage amongst the two sites, you don't believe that a dry well would be necessary on the new lot 17.02?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
You mean 1704?
Sorry, 1704.
1704, yes.
Okay.
I have no further questions of Mr. Ali at this time.
Mr. Arch, can I just ask a couple of questions? Because I just want to just hammer down to what you're actually seeking in terms of variance relief.
Well, certainly.
You have a proposed front yard setback variance that you need because while you've removed the steps out of the right of way, they're only 2.5 feet setback. And you need a 25-foot setback, correct?
Correct. With the existing construction of the building. And I do want to, I will after, if there's any questions of Mr. Ali, I do want to go through the staff report and I will address specifically the conditions that we are requesting relief on. And I do have a further exhibit that shows what the property looks like at this moment, which might also help in terms of visualizing what it is that the township professionals are asking and what it is that we are hoping to come to a compromise on.
Okay, that's fine. Then I'll let you go and I'll save my questions for the end. I'm sorry.
That's okay, Mr. Barlow. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Tim. This is Dawn Quirkin. I do want to have one thing clarified with regard to the variances. In my report, I noted that a variance was required for the size of the garage. It doesn't quite meet the, you need 12 feet in width by 20 feet in length. Will you be revising the architecturals so that it complies and eliminating the need for that variance?
I believe if I'm incorrect, but I believe that we did submit updated or revised architecturals shortly after that report came out. We absolutely are. The new home is going to be perfectly conforming. We are making that garage depth conforming. And I do believe there were updated architecturals. If they're not, we'll certainly get that to you as a part of.
Mr. Arch, it's Ron Reinertsen. I can confirm that you did submit the revised. That's why I didn't note it. I did. That's why one of my comments is that the architectural plan should just show a revision date because we got a new revision while we were working on this to address that specific item.
Apologies, but just for clarifications, yes, we are the garage for the new residential home will be conforming.
Thank you, Tim.
Okay. So lot 17.04 doesn't require any variances. It is seeking a waiver from the drywall. Is essentially all we're doing with it, all you're requesting for the new lot, correct?
Correct. For the purpose, yes, for the new lot, correct.
And 17.03, you have a front yard setback and a rear yard setback that are existing.
As well as a interpreted requirement that we need a detached garage on that property as well.
Okay. And you're going to address that.
Portion. We're going to address, I will address that as well. We're going to be asking for relief from that too, if the board would allow.
And gotcha. Mr. Barlow, I think, I confirm with Mr. Arch, the encroachment within the municipal open space is being taken care of, right? So that one's being eliminated.
Yes, as part of providing the sidewalks and the curbs, obviously those sidewalks and curbs have to be uninhibited and have to meet ADA standards. And so anything that is encroaching on that will have to be removed.
Just making my punch list here. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And Tim, Dawn Corcoran, I have another one for you. With regard to that drywall, I have to be honest, I'm not really comfortable. I don't even think I'm in a position to say that is something that can be waived at this time. It is a requirement, as you said, of the engineering department. And I think it's something that, you know, in the event this application was approved, it's something that your engineer would certainly have to work out with the township's engineer. I just want to make that, you know, noted. It's just not something that I'm comfortable waiving. I simply just cannot. So
I think we would be certainly comfortable with, obviously, Mr. Ali working with the township to determine if that is necessary to address stormwater, and ultimately we'll defer to the township's determination.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, if Ms. Corcoran was amenable to that, I think at best it could be as a condition that the applicant will work with the township's engineering staff on the issue of the dry well, and if they feel it's necessary after Mr. Ali, you know, explains why he doesn't, that'll be put in. And if the engineering department signs off on it, they sign off on it.
I think that's perfectly reasonable and fair. Are there any other, I guess I would ask.
So now we'll proceed with questions for the board. Any other questions of this witness?
Madam Chair, it's Councilwoman Cahill. So, Mr. Arch, you did say that you were going to go through the list. It feels like we went through most of it, but if you could just explain, because I heard one point about the garage and then another. Just explain to me what the applicant's agreeing to with the garage on lot 17.03, if you might.
Correct. Yes. And perhaps it's easier if I just go into the explanations for the requests, and then we can just universally, if there's any questions, we can ask of it. So as per CME's letter and as Mr. Hinterstein's letter, there is a requirement that newly constructed residential homes after, let me just get to the part exactly in that cites it. After July 27th, 1978, are required to provide an enclosed garage. And it's specifically for residential construction dates that fall after that date. The interpretation by the board professionals, which I disagree with, I think you can interpret it that way, but I think it's a bit of a stretch to indicate that the Circle Playhouse is constructed after 1978. It obviously predates that. The interpretation is that now that it is being used or proposed to be used as a residential structure, which is what the zone wants and which is what the zone is zoned for, that now triggers that it is to be treated as if it is brand new construction. And I think that, with all due respect to the township professionals, I think that it is a bit of a stretch of that interpretation to believe that the Circle Playhouse, which is that structure which predates 1978 significantly, is now interpreted as being a brand new construction. The municipal land use law is very clear that existing structures can be rebuilt in their same square footage, can be fixed up, can be remodeled, as long as you're staying within that existing footprint of the structure. So the requirement to add a detached garage, we are respectfully asking that you provide, or that you waive that requirement. Quite frankly, if a family purchases this lot and wishes to put a garage in it sometime in the future, they certainly can. But as Mr. Ali testified to, there is more than adequate parking on that on that site currently. Quite frankly, if we kept more of the asphalt, you could probably get 20 cars. It used to be a parking lot. So that's not a question of is there adequate parking on site? There's obviously adequate parking. And I just think that that interpretation is maybe a bit too far, with all due respect. So that's the clarification that I wanted to make on the requirement to treat this as a new residential construction when it's an existing structure that's been there well before 1978.
Okay. Mr. Arch, since we're going to talk about what the statute, I guess, means or says, can we all agree that prior to July 27, 1978, the Circle Playhouse was not used in a residential manner, was not a residential structure, correct?
It was not used. It was not used as a residential use, correct?
Okay. And the first time it's being used as a residential structure is basically 2022 when it's being converted, right?
I agree with that.
Okay.
And if the and with all due respect, if it said use as opposed to construction, I would absolutely 100% agree with that interpretation. But, the ordinance does not state residential use after a certain time. It says new construction after 1978. So that again, that's just my pitch to the board. And again, I completely respect the interpretation of the professionals, but I think an equally valid, if not certainly one to take into consideration interpretation, is that this structure, this construction, was built well prior to 1978.
Okay. Let me finish. So now I'm going to keep going.
You interrupt me all the time, Tom. I can interrupt you occasionally. That's all right.
I'm stealing our thunder over here.
we'll call it a push. But the description of residential is a description of use, right?
In the municipal land use law, residential, yes, is a use, is a zoning use.
And I assume there is, from the look of that picture in A4, converting that structure into a home that people are going to reside in, I assume there is a lot of construction that's going on inside of that to convert it. I've never been inside it, but it looked like it probably needed a lot of work.
A very loose definition. Yes, there was construction. Absolutely. Okay. But again, the municipal land use law classifies that not as new construction, but classifies that as
an existing structure.
An existing structure, correct.
Which is undergoing a new use, a new permitted use.
Correct. Okay. And it coming into more conformity to the zone that it's actually in. It's actually, it's doing what the municipal land use law is intended to do, which is bring things into conformity, which is precisely what we're doing. To a great degree, I think, on both of these lots. I mean, to a massive degree.
I think the board is probably aware of the arguments on both sides of it based on our discussion and Mr. Reinersten's report. So we'll leave it at that.
Madam Chair, if I may, this is Councilwoman Cahill, because I do want to get into the meat of this and try to understand what the pushback is. Well, first let me back up, is that I think we might all agree with what the spirit of that ordinance is. I mean, it's the spirit of the ordinance, right? If we're going to get into the weeds of specific word use, and I get, you know, why we do that, and as an attorney, you would do it, but the spirit of that ordinance is not into play if we grant that variance, right? This is now going to be a residential use. Even folks in our town who have homes built prior to 1976, whose garages were converted into bedrooms, are being, you know, required to convert that into a garage, based upon the ordinance. So to come into conformity. So I look at this lot
We had all the
I'm looking at this lot, and I'm looking at the fact that that this is obviously somebody who's investing in the town, bringing the homes, bringing the land into conformity, which we do appreciate, and you know, are certainly, you know, happy to see this. But I'm also seeing here something that just from the layman, somebody who has the they have the wherewithal to convert that property, to subdivide, build another property, sell, make their money. What is the pushback on the garage?
And if I may, this is Dawn Quirk, and I completely agree with Ms. Cahill. I mean, you have a lot here that you can build the detached garage. You can easily meet all of the setback requirements. You can bring the property. I mean, you're already bringing it into conformance by creating the single family. Providing the garage would, again, meet the ordinance requirement. I agree. I don't really see what the hardship is here. I don't really see why it can't be constructed.
I don't want to belabor the point. If the board decides that they believe a garage is required, then we will comply with that. It is again, my point is I'm an attorney. It's my job to sort of dig into this a little bit. And I didn't think that the interpretation was one that fit, but ultimately if the board thinks that the interpretation fits and that they would prefer to see a garage there, we will comply with that. So I don't think we have to belabor it too much. I'm just because there's one other thing that I want to talk about in terms of one last staff report comment. So I think we've probably discussed enough about the garage, and I'll just leave it to the board to vote what they feel is appropriate on that. If they were to approve it, if that were to be a condition.
Yeah. And just one thing, and I'm not going to belabor it. I wasn't around in 1978 when this vesting language was written, but I can look where it's buried. It's discussing 1 and 2 family homes. And you say what the purpose of that vesting language was. To me, it's clear it was to protect the existing homeowners at the time for not building garages. We have acknowledged the Circle Playhouse was not a home at that time, which was pretty much the basis of where I was coming from. What was the spirit of why that language was put in the ordinance back in 1978? And again, I don't have the legislative intent. I'm making an interpretation, and Ms. Archer, you know, that's why I put it there. This was my interpretation.
Absolutely.
Because it needed to be vetted.
The staff agrees with you, Ron.
Yeah, it's in both. You definitely agree with
now
me.
I feel good.
Tim, one question for you. Does this structure, does this have a basement?
I will have to defer to Mr. Ali or to Mr. Adi if it has a basement. I don't know that off the top of my head.
Not to the best of my knowledge, there is no basement there.
I was just curious.
I have a totally separate question from Ms. Ali. There's a discrepancy. You say 6 bedrooms on this plan and the architectural plans has 5. What is it? I just want to clarify that.
5.
It's 5.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll correct this plan and won't say 6 anymore. It'll be 5.
Well, no, this. So which home are we talking about? Just to be.
We're talking about 1704 on the architectural plans. It says it's a 5 bedroom. And this subdivision plan says 6.
That is correct. 6 bedrooms.
Okay, so then it doesn't match the architectural plans.
I think the architectural plan is calling for 6 bedrooms. It's just a typo as far as the number.
Okay, I mean, I counted 5. But again, it doesn't affect RSIS, but I would just have to acknowledge, also understand, because it's, you know, it's 3.5 and RSIS rounds down. There's also no parking allowed on the north, on the west side of Victoria. So it's kind of important to understand then how that 6 bedroom is going to work. So
We can certainly make a, we'll certainly clarify that, obviously. Yeah,
I just want it reconciled because I was reading, I was looking at the architectural plans. It was five bedrooms. So.
Right. And by the way, one of the staff comments was, this is a single family home. We absolutely, this is intended to be a single family home. And we agree to that. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. It's a reconciliation between what, I mean, to me, the subdivision plat is the Bible. Maybe the architectural plans are off, but I mean, they really, you know, you're presenting two different proposals on that.
And Mr. Arch, if I may, you're talking about the one is the single family, but in fact, both are single family, correct?
Right. Both these are only zoned as single family. We would have to cut if they were ever to be converted into anything other than a single family, they would have to be in front of the board. We are agreeing that these are single family homes. They will be sold as such. And we agree to any to restrictions to that effect.
Mr. Arch, Dawn Corcoran again. Is it your client's intent to make facade improvements to the converted dwelling?
So I have a picture of what it looks like now, and I wanted to use that to address the final comment that I have. So if you wish, I could share my screen now and we can see what the existing structure looks like now.
Sure.
If that would be your preferences. Mr. Ali, can you stop your screen sharing so I can share? So can everybody see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, so this is a picture. We'll mark this as A5. This was a picture that was taken earlier today of what is existing on the site now, which as you can see is a significant, I think, improvement and change as to the building that was there. The reason that I wanted to bring this up is to address the final, one comment in Mr. Hinterstein's report is the is his remarks to eliminate, and if you can see where my cursor is, this front portion of the building, this bumped out front portion of this building to eliminate that. These renovations were done legally with permits from the town. The building permits were granted by the town for the work that was done there, which included the front area here, this bumped out area here, and the existing steps. I believe that, and that was all this construction was done while the application, I think, was pending. What I believe the staff report is indicating is this, which was just recently in the last couple months, approved, permitted, and built, would now be removed and destroyed and pushed back to the existing portion, to this wall here. What we are asking for, and what we've already agreed to, is these steps here in the that are currently in the right of way to be removed so that the curbing and the sidewalk can be put in and can be compliant to ADA standards. But we're asking to keep what has already been renovated, permitted and renovated, so that we don't have to destroy what we just built and what the town told us we could build. Because that is a cost that we don't want to have to incur to build something to this, then take it down a month later.
Tim, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but you're saying built. I know when this permit came in, it was for interior renovations. However, when you look at the elevations in our packet, and when you pulled up A4, that portion of this dwelling was always there. Obviously they repainted or maybe put stucco. I can't really tell. But it was there, correct? It's not that this is something that was newly constructed.
No, in fact, it specifically was not newly constructed, if we want to get back to that, but which I'm sure we don't. No, it was an existing area in the structure, but you can see the work has been put into it to rehabilitate it, to put new facade, to significant amount of work that was done to it, to then be asked to take all that out, remove all that work that was done to it. So no, it was not built from scratch. Nothing on this building was built from scratch. But again, it, what we're asking is for a compromise, since we are, and we're willing to readjust the steps in order to get them out of the right of way, in order to, account for curb and sidewalk, which the property, you know, has never had, and allow those to be in there. We're asking that we can allow the existing structure that's been there to stay in the orientation it's at, especially since the client has put work, has put money and put effort into rehabilitating this. To tear that down, I think is I think that's a big ask, respectfully. So those are the comments that that we would ask that the board reconsider. It would be the detached garage on the existing site, removal of the front section of the home, and to consider, and again, I think this has already been addressed, but the dry well, we'll address that with engineering. So really, it's just those two that we would ask the board to please reconsider, based on everything that we've shown. And I will stop sharing my screen at this point.
So Tim, just to then circle back, we have two bulk variances for the existing 2.5 foot for the front yard. You have the 18.5 foot rear yard setback. So those are the two bulk variances. And right. Then you're seeking essentially to not build a garage, but if the board finds that you need to build the garage based on the interpretation of the statute, you could either do a conforming detached garage, or I guess you could probably do a conforming attached garage, you know, as long as you didn't need variances from either one. I don't think it's the garage that's the important part. The dry well, I think we've agreed, would be left to engineering.
Correct.
And then essentially relief from number one of Mr. Hinterstein's report, but complying with the rest of the reports.
Correct.
Okay. I just wanted to kind of boil it down to what.
I appreciate that, because that really is I think that is a concise summation. Okay. Thank you. And I don't think we opened anything up to the public yet. So I just want to also be clear that we still have to go about that, or we'll still take more questions, obviously.
Well, are there any more board questions? I guess that's where we go from here. If the board has finished its discussion, I think it's now time for us to open it up to the public. Ms. Buckley.
Anyone from the public have any comments or questions? Thompson
raising her hand.
I don't know where she went. You have to unmute. There you go.
My question is this also about the actual subdivision itself, or just the variances
Can I just stop you for 1 second, ma'am? Can you just state your name, spell your last name, and give us your address, please?
My name is Tara Thompson, last name Thompson, Thompson, and I live at 407 Victoria Avenue, almost directly across the street from this site.
Okay, and since you're going to be talking before the board, can I just swear you in real quick?
Absolutely.
Ms. Thompson, you swear the testimony you give before the board will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
So yes.
You got it? Okay. What's your question, ma'am?
Okay. My question is this this meeting also include the actual request for a subdivision, or is this just for the variances themselves?
No, it includes the request. If I can answer that, it includes the request for the subdivision, which is conforming. Both lots will be big enough that they meet the requirements in that zone, ma'am.
Okay, because we were just concerned about the impact it would have on our the neighbors at 410. And of course, traffic and other things. That's our concern. Especially with such large capacity homes as we're seeing. What impact is that going to have on our neighborhood and our neighbors?
Certainly a fair question, Ms. Thompson, but because what they're proposing is a permitted use, things like traffic don't come into play because it's presumed that the use is not going to impact that to a degree that would be a basis to not grant the subdivision. That's just that's kind of a legal minutia that, you know, I understand why you're thinking that way, but it is a permitted use. If we were in front of the zoning board, then traffic would come into play, and Mr. Archer would probably have a traffic expert and things like that, but it is a permitted use.
Ms. Thompson, if I could, Mr. Barlow, just while they're still on the line, this is Councilwoman Cahill. It kind of looked to me on the proposed new home, that six bedrooms, I don't know if we could go back to the plans. The driveway itself looked like it would only be a two-car. I mean, yeah, the driveway would only be a two-car driveway, would only fit two. Did I see that somewhere on the plans?
That's correct, and that was the testimony. I believe both Mr. Ali and the board's planner indicated that the residential site improvement standards call for that house to provide three parking spaces, which it does.
Okay, correct, so that's Ron? Right. That's for the new home. I guess the existing building, because of the size of the paved area, would probably potentially fit more. But the new home, albeit six bedrooms, still really would only fit three cars, one in the garage, two in the driveway. Is that correct?
That is accurate, yes.
And to our board, to Mr. Arch, there's no permitted parking on that street, correct?
That's correct. So anybody that was in that that lived in that home would not be able to have overflow parking into the street. They have to limit themselves to those three spaces.
Right, right. So, albeit, you know, I do believe the neighbor here has a valid point. You know, this now, at least the existing structure, again, albeit that it would probably fit more than the three cars, at one point, obviously had many more cars coming and going from it. So having this area rezoned to be residential should be not a difficult stretch with two new dwellings coming there. I don't live there. I don't know. I live on a very busy street myself in Piscataway, but just to give our resident a little more comfort, at least with this, also the second home with six bedrooms, that they really should only be able to have three cars, which is about average now, I think. Well, it's probably even more than that for some homes. I don't know if that helps you to feel any better about that, but it would make me feel better if I knew we could only fit three cars.
Well, when it was just the playhouse, once, maybe twice a year, they would have plays. So the rest of the year, there was nobody there. That's why I'm concerned, because it's been very quiet. You know, there was one, maybe two plays a year, and it was over maybe just a couple of weeks, and then you would rarely ever see anybody there.
I certainly understand that, but this is now all residential, so, you know, it seems like to me like the applicant, you know, I'm not a professional, I'm just here on the planning board, and, you know, but I look at it from
almost the same lens as you're looking at it, right? I'm not a planner. I'm not an attorney. I live here in town and I serve the town. So I just look at it and I think it probably looks a little bit more glaring than what it may end up being. It may end up being looking nice for you to actually look at across the street, you know? We can only hope.
Okay, thank you very much.
Are there any other members of the public who have questions?
And can you unshare your screen, Tim?
Oh, yes. I actually think that's Mr. Ali.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are there any other members of the public who have questions?
I don't see anyone, Madam Chair.
All right, I guess we can close the public portion of the meeting. We've had a lot of discussions. Where does the board wish to go at this point?
Madam Chair, if I may, this is Councilwoman Cahill. I mean, from my perspective, I could not in good conscience, and especially knowing what other residents have had to go through in order to be conforming with the garage, my vote would be that the application be approved, though, based upon that the resident would, or that the owner of this land and who's building it would agree to build the detached garage on lot 1703. And I think Mr. Barlow has already covered the dry well. And I don't really have an issue with, them not taking away the bump out that had already been fixed. I'm not sure how others feel on the board, how the professionals feel, but I'm just letting you know how my vote would go. I would not absolutely vote yes if a variance for the garage was granted.
And Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I concur with the comments of Ms. Cahill. I guess one additional comment I would make with regard to the detached garage, that it just be like similar color and material of the renovated structure. And again, looking at the plan a little bit further, I don't think they have the ability to, you know, maybe turn the staircase or try to alleviate that setback without entirely ripping it down. I mean, they did do a very nice job of the facade improvement on the structure. So I agree that they should have to build the detached garage, but I would be okay with not requiring them to rip off that front entrance area.
So are you seconding the motion, or are you making an amendment?
I just had the additional comment. I'm sorry about the
right. And to be clear, Madam Chair, I didn't make the motion just yet. I want to get a temperature check from the professionals on this, but I'm willing to, but based upon the recommendation.
Is there any more commentary from any of the members of the board? I guess my comment would be consistent with Ms. Cochran's commentary. I had looked at the possibility of the bump out with reference to the front steps. Perhaps they could be made sideways, but maybe that's not such a big deal, because they're going to take that platform look from in front. They're going to remove that, correct? And with that, which is in the right of way in the sidewalk, it's going to be there. So that platform part is going to be removed.
Correct. That is correct. Anything that's in the right of way will be removed. And I believe that was originally, that landing was in the right of way.
Okay. So I guess I agree, Mike. That's the only comment that I have. I'm in agree with the other, with the rest of the proposal. Any other comments? If not, I'll take a motion.
Okay, Madam Chair, I am willing to make the motion that the application be approved. First of all, there's a couple of things that I didn't mention that I think Mr. Barlow, we want to make sure
it's the right language in terms of the plans not quite matching what we were seeing on screen to be addressed, as well as the detached garage on 1703, the cement steps, what landing, whatever you want to call that, be removed, that's in the right of way. If the engineers on 1704 for the dry well, Mr. Barlow and Ms. Corcoran, if you want to just jump in here with any other items we need to add on there into the language in order for this applicant to receive their approval, please jump in now.
So Councilwoman Cahill, just to reiterate what you just indicated, so your motion is to grant the minor subdivision with the two bulk variances for the rear and front yard setback, requiring the applicant to do the detached garage, a conforming detached garage, and to remove what is currently in the right of way, along with everything else that the applicant agreed to on the record, with mm-hmm. the caveat that item number one of Mr. Hinterstein's report dealing with removing the front of the existing structure be taken out in terms of compliance with the remainder of his report. Does that sound about right?
That sounds about right. Okay. And that all of the plans are matching, right? That
absolutely, they agreed to submit the appropriate any amendments to the plans to reflect what was agreed to on the record.
Right. And so with all of that, that is to say that I would offer a motion. I'm not sure if the rest of my board members would agree, but it is my feeling that we could grant that variance on that piece that's bulked out without it being, you know, a terrible thing to grant there, since it was existing and they did the work.
So that's the motion. It would be appropriate for a second at this juncture.
Owen Corcoran, I'll second that motion.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes. Excuse me, yes.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much, members of the board, Madam Chairwoman. I know this was not as smooth as the last one, but thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, the important thing that we got through it. Reminder to the board that the next meeting the site plan meeting will be on June 22nd, and our next planning board regular meeting will be on July 13th. In the meantime, everyone stay safe. Motion
to
adjourn.
Have a great 4th of July.
Have a great 4th of July.
Stay safe, everyone. Be well. Have a good evening.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.